This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 229 for the week ending Saturday, July 5th, 2014. Is this thing on? Yes, I know it's on. I am, who am I?
I'm your captain.
I'm your captain.
I'm your captain.
In Atlanta, Georgia.
So I'm
feeling
mighty sick.
Mighty sick. And we haven't even started the show yet, and I'm already feeling sick. And joining us also today from deep in the heart of Texas, Miss Angela Cialana.
Hello, everyone. I am so glad Jeff has theme music.
Deep in the heart of Texas. Now, it makes a lot more sense when I'm singing. You can actually hear the music in the background. Must have sounded really awful before. Okay. And also joining us from the Old Dominion State, Virginia, John Clem.
Hello, y'all. Good to see you again.
Hello, y'all. How you doing? Okay, so now you understand this great music that I'm listening to in the background. Don't you love that? All right. That was supposed to fade out. Sorry. Okay. Well, come on. Train wreck. Is it already time for this?
Joe, what the hell are you?
Sorry. I hit the wrong one. This is the one I meant to hit.
Okay.
There we go. It truly is a train wreck. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Catholic Weekend. Today is the 5th of July, which is the day after a very important day here in the United States of America. I know that there are some people listening from other locations around the globe, but most of you are listening from the States, and yesterday was Independence Day, the 4th of July, we like to call it. So let me be the first to wish you a happy 5th of July. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
And did you have a good 4th of July celebration? Any picnics or fireworks or anything like that, Angela?
We didn't have a picnic. My husband and I went on a walk in a park, a local park, and we watched a movie that we hadn't seen yet, which was the Lego Movie. So now I understand why everybody runs around singing Everything is Awesome. And those of you who've seen the movie understand that. And I wanted to make a pie or something like it, but I realized it was just too much work. So instead, I just baked some apples, and we got vanilla ice cream, and that's what we had. And I watched Capital Fourth on PBS. So
Capital Fourth, what's that?
Yeah, that's that is when the public broadcasting station here in the United States goes over to the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., and they have a big old concert there with a lot of really famous singers and the symphony orchestra and just obviously lots of fireworks. So, yeah, that's kind of a tradition for me if I never, you know, if I don't go out and
mm-hmm.
So
it was a nice, quiet 4th of July celebration with your very special life partner. And we
Indeed.
Call it your husband. Because you are
male,
in a traditional marriage.
My sacramental male
yes.
life partner.
Your spiritual soulmate. All right. John, how about yourself? Did you have a good 4th of July celebration, Independence Day?
Yeah. No, we had a wonderful celebration here in our neighborhood. We have a little parade, and we have the fire department out, and the kids all decorate their bikes and have a good time doing a neighborhood parade. And then we go down to the neighborhood pool and have hot dogs, and somebody has to grab the watermelon out of the water and everything. So plenty of fun. And then my brother played at a concert downtown Charlottesville here. And here we have a big celebration here at Monticello here also. They have the naturalization ceremony and inducting new citizens into the United States. And I think they had people here from 38 different countries inducted as new American citizens yesterday.
Wow.
So that's always a big celebration. Yeah.
That is cool. I mean, what better day to come into our to become a citizen of the United States than the 4th of July. Excellent. What did I do? Well, the 4th of July, starting back in 1987, is my daughter's birthday, which means that, and she doesn't enjoy watching fireworks or doing anything patriotic because it's her birthday. So we just had a birthday celebration. Oh, and heard cool. all the fireworks booming and going off outside. And our dogs were, especially Holly, was scared to death. And then the other time of the year when that happens is my other daughter's birthday on New Year's Eve.
Really?
So, yeah, both two daughters' birthdays, fireworks, but and dogs wow. getting scared of the fireworks. But anyway, it was a great time. We it's interesting. We're going to go out to dinner, and then she said, let's go ahead and just get something somewhere and then bring it back and just eat here at the house. And so we ended up, let's see, one, two, three, about four different restaurants before we finally found one that was open because it's the 4th of July. And so we had takeout from a Chinese or a Japanese restaurant for her birthday. So very patriotic.
Hey. Yeah. The land of immigrants, right?
That's right. So. That's right. No, we had a good time. We really did. So let's see. We're going to talk with John about something very, very special that's coming up in his life, and he's going to inform us about that and educate us a little bit about some things. But before we do that, let's talk about what happened in the news this past week. And I think it was just this past week, wasn't it? The Supreme Court ruling on the HHS mandate.
It was Monday.
Monday, okay. Thank you. And from what I could tell, it seemed to be a positive ruling in favor of religious freedoms. So a little bit of backlash from some of the liberal groups and saying that it's a war on women and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, Hobby Lobby wasn't restricting, birth control methods and that kind of thing completely out of, I think there were like a list of 20 things, 16 of them they were still providing, and only four of them they objected to. And
And I don't know if all of our listeners are not in the U.S. are actually understanding Hobby Lobby and all this.
Google. But Google it. Just kidding.
Definitely Google it. But basically, yeah, there's our government had this health mandate for businesses to require them to pay for employees' contraceptive coverage. And this particular business, Hobby Lobby, is owned by Christians, and they had a problem with, I believe it was the morning after pill,
mm-hmm.
Because of it inducing abortions. Of course, us as Catholics, we object to all forms of contraception. So there are many other companies that have lawsuits out right now in that regard. But the Supreme Court of the U.S. Did say that they could have an exception on Monday. So, and I was watching the local sort of independent news and some other places as well. And they were talking, they had a law expert who was talking about this ruling, as well as another ruling that happened this week for a college. I think it was Wheaton College. And they really made it sound like the legal ramifications were a lot more complex than I think the mass media is making it out to be, or that a lot of Christian or even pro contraceptive groups are making out this this ruling to be, because it's kind of, I think when the Hobby Lobby ruling happened on Monday, a lot of people said, oh yay, you know, we won religious freedom, you know, we're never going to have this problem again. But I don't think that's really the case. So if you're a lawyer, I'd be happy to hear some feedback from you about what all is actually happening, because I think it's sort of being simplified for us right now.
Well, from the Catholic News Agency, so the mandate issued by the Department of Health and Human Services, part of Obamacare, you may have heard that term, requires employers to offer insurance coverage for contraception, sterilization, and some abortion-inducing drugs at no cost to the employee. More than 300 plaintiffs have filed lawsuits, and then on June 30th, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the owners of Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood Specialties, who argued that the mandate forced them to violate their religious beliefs against certain drugs and devices that can cause early abortions. And that's what Angela was talking about, the morning after, and there's another pill, I think, called Ella or something like that, in the 5-4 ruling. So it was by no means a unanimous ruling by the Supreme Court, but was enough to be overturned. The Supreme Court found that the government had not used the least restrictive means of furthering its compelling interest of ensuring free birth control.
A lot of pro-life folks are, you know, upset that this was actually ruled on the basis of religious freedom, because they say, you know, it should be just about the liberty of the business owner to decide what they want to pay for and what they don't want to pay for, and the fact that, you know, life begins at conception scientifically. So, you know, there's a lot of controversy just on all aspects, on all levels about all this.
Yeah, it said, this is from Kathy Schiffer's blog on Pathos, Seasons of Grace. She talks about the fact that there was a full-page anti-Catholic ad published in the New York Times. What? By the FFRF, the... What's the name of their group here?
Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Yes, that's it. Freedom From Religion Foundation. And according to their website, allowing employers to decide what kind of birth control an employee can use is not, as the Supreme Court ruled, an exercise of religion. It is an exercise of tyranny. Tyranny, I tell you.
Right, anyway. Because you can't just go out and pay for your own birth control.
Well, you know, and then she said, well, look.
A local clinic or something.
You know, Hobby Lobby employees has been providing, as I mentioned before, the following drugs free of charge to Hobby Lobby employees. And they're not objecting to this. Male condoms, female condoms, diaphragms, sponges, all these things to keep, you know, pregnancies from occurring. 16 things there. The only things that they were objecting to were the Plan B, the morning after, Ella, copper, anyway, that's enough. So... Well, it will be interesting to see exactly, you know, what ramification this is going to have. But
I think there's a lot more to be determined still, too, with all these other pending lawsuits. And in addition to Wheaton College, also EWTN was granted an exception also for all contraceptive devices right now under the HHS mandate. So
good.
I still think there's a lot more to come after the summer.
Yeah, it was a big hit, though. I think that everybody would agree on Obamacare, and so at least they felt that it was at least some kind of a victory. Maybe not so big a victory as we perceive right away, but we'll have to wait and see. And speaking of downers, you remember just a couple months ago up in Harvard, they were talking about holding this black mass. And it turns out that finally, because of the public outcry, they canceled it. Well, in Oklahoma City, apparently there's a group that I guess they've been doing this quite a bit over the last several years, are planning to hold a black mass in the Civic Center in Oklahoma City in September.
Wasn't it Oklahoma City that there was some kind of like satanic statue supposedly that was supposed to be erected earlier?
I don't know.
Do you remember that in the news?
Yeah, I remember that.
So I wonder if they have just a community of Satanists down there. I don't know. I'd be interested.
Apparently so. The Archbishop Paul Coakley has called on all Catholics to pray that God might change the minds of the organizers of the Black Mass scheduled for later this year. And what was interesting, you know, the Civic Center, it sounds like they're going to be just, you know, thousands of people there. Well, apparently they've been doing this for some time, and they only have a small little room that holds like 96 people, and usually it's less than 50 people that show up. But one of the commenters of this on this website, Edmund Sun from Edmond, Oklahoma, said, well, thanks to the Archbishop, this time it will be packed to the rafters. So his point was, well, maybe we shouldn't have said anything because now we're just kind of bringing it to light and, you know, giving feeding the fire, you know.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, so I was hoping to have Steve on and so he could talk about this.
Prayer,
yeah.
I wanted to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Johannes, who sent us feedback.
Oh, yes.
because he talked about prayer. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that rosaries, a lot of people have rosaries in their car. And he thinks that that's more of a talisman than actually, well, it kind of serves as more of a talisman than actually, you know, practicing your faith. That was his position. And he was asking us what we thought of that. And also, he was saying that he really cannot pray the rosary while he's driving. And so he was asking us that, do we pray the rosary while we drive, or, Jeff, while you're flying?
Well, okay. First of all, talisman, I had to look that up. I didn't really understand what that meant. An object which is believed to contain certain magical or sacramental properties, which would provide good luck for the possessor or possibly offer protection from evil or harm. And that is from the Wikipedia. I do pray the rosary. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll use an excellent resource that Greg and Jennifer Willits of the Rosary Army produced many, many years ago. And I think it's still available on iTunes. And it's the Rosary Army Scriptural Rosary. And you can listen to Greg and Jennifer pray the rosary. And then in between each petition are scriptural clips or excerpts, verses that back up, you know, what that particular decade is praying about and for, and it's wonderful, and it's a way, you know, if you have a cassette, well, nobody uses cassettes anymore, but a CD, you can burn it onto a CD, or you can listen to it on your phone or your iPod or whatever, and then you keep your hands on the steering wheel, and you just pray along, and you feel like you're with a group of people praying, and it's a great way to pray the rosary, in my opinion. And then the other thing, if I don't have the audio of somebody else praying the rosary with me, if I pray it by myself, I honestly don't use a rosary beads, so it's not a talisman for me because I don't have any object that I'm, you know, keeping in my pocket and, you know, has any, you know, magical powers or whatever, you know, you're saying that is attributed to it. I use my fingers that God gave me to count the various things on the rosary. That's what I do. And I keep both hands on the wheel of my steering wheel. And I do. What about you, Angela?
It's a funny thing because here in San Antonio, the culture is so Catholic. We have so many Hispanics here and just other cultures as well, that Polish. And so it is very Catholic in the air, and it's not at all uncommon to see people, you know, with rosary stickers on their car, or like Our Lady of Guadalupe, or rosaries hanging on their rearview mirror. But I do wonder how many of those people actually pray the rosary, because I think it is, at least here anyway, because a lot of people are culturally Catholic, mm-hmm. that they use that as sort of a good luck charm or some sort of just to kind of ease their minds, like to sort of protect the car type of thing, even if they don't get their car blessed. Mm-hmm. So that's that. I mean, I personally, I grew up, my grandfather always would lead the family in a rosary for my mom's family when they were kids in the car, whenever they would go on a car trip. And my mom used to do that with us, but I never really liked it. I mean, I appreciated the fact that we were praying the rosary together, but I'm such a visual person, and if you know, I would usually have to have my eyes closed in the car, like when we were praying the rosary, because I couldn't focus on the mysteries, you know, like I really need to just, I personally need to block out distractions when I pray the rosary. So I tend to pray the rosary in very quiet, you know, still places.
Probably not a good idea to do that while you're driving.
No, I don't pray the rosary while I'm driving, definitely. So,
well, you know, Lynn, just pointed out to me that we have this audio feedback. You want to play it?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay, let's do that. All right, let's see how this works.
Hello, Catholic Weekenders. This is Johannes from Munich, Germany. I had some feedback on your recent episode. First of all, about misusing or overdoing like religious symbols in your house and turning it into superstition, maybe. I frequently notice rosaries slung around the rear view mirrors of some people's cars, and I doubt that they all really use this rosary to pray during their drives. Kind of for me, I'm always like tempted to view that as a lucky charm or a talisman or mascot they are misusing the rosary for. For me, I don't know how you're doing that, but for me, it's kind of weird to really pray during a drive. You know, I'm like at the beginning, I like to, or at least of like further drives, I like to say a little prayer to my guardian angel, but I can't focus and pray like really a rosary at the same time. I know some people I used to know some people who did that, but it always seemed kind of weird for me. Do you pray during driving or flying? I don't know. It was really a pity that he didn't continue talking about the World Cup. I mean, for us Germans, football is kind of the
second most important
thing in the world after beer, probably.
I do have a rosary hanging.
And
my,
you have a German coach. The
wait a minute. Yeah, I think he's still going here.
The American national team, so yeah.
Of course, he's still talking about
so that was a pity. then talking about ordination,
was
ordained a priest last weekend. No, not a priest, sorry, a deacon last weekend, and it was a great ceremony. Ceremony with two bishops and like at least 50 priests and a couple of deacons. It was great. Cool. A great, beautiful church in town called Eichstätt, here like 100 kilometers from Munich. It was well worth the drive with our two children, little daughters, 4 and 1, and then I hope they can remember that, but yeah, I think it was also good for them to be there, and for us parents as well, of course. Then I want to give you an emotive word to talk about. We invented that, I think, the other day, my wife and I, talking about something like, it's the word posh Catholics. I wonder what you make of that. And then another topic you brought up was like patriotism. Talking about Independence Day, and that's it's interesting for me always to hear patriotic people, because in Germany it's still heavily frowned upon, to say the least, to be patriotic. And that's kind of like my feedback. So take care, God bless, and I'm looking forward to your next episode. Bye.
Well, here we are, and thank you, Johannes, for sending that in. Excellent feedback, and we already started discussing the first part, the rosary part of it. And, you know, again, he makes a good point. I'm sure that probably most of the people that have the rosaries hanging down from their rearview mirror are probably using it not in the way it's supposed to be used, right? More of a superstition or whatever. Yeah. But
I have it in my car, but I use it really for remind me that God is foremost, front and center in my life. Sort of remind me to pray, perhaps while I'm driving. I mean, I'd say mm-hmm. the rosary. A lot of times, what I do is I have the Divine Office on my iPhone that I listen to along mm-hmm. while I'm driving.
Yeah, me too.
But it also spurs conversation sometimes. I might have someone that comes in my car that's non-Catholic, and it might, for the new evangelization, might help spur a conversation about Catholicism or faith with somebody. So I think it also serves that purpose.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I'm not so sure that there are people that go to – that fill the pews every Sunday that are just doing it because that's what they grew up doing. They really don't believe, you know, if they're even saying the creed, if they're just saying the words, they probably don't believe all of what they're saying.
Or they may have just a really simple faith.
Yeah.
You know, they may not understand a lot of this stuff.
And, and that used to really frustrate me, but I guess maybe that I'm getting older and maybe mellowing out a little bit. It's just like, well, maybe just the fact that they're there, and maybe they don't believe any of it, but it's better than not being there, and maybe somehow it's affecting them in some very, very low level. And it's the same with the people with the rosaries in their cars. You know, it's a reminder. There's a crucifix hanging at the end of that rosary bead, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, you never know what effect that may have on these people at some point. So I've mellowed out my position on a lot of this kind of stuff over the years.
One relative that's fearful of driving through the tunnel down in Tidewater, the Hampton Roads bridge tunnel, and she knows it takes 7 Hail Marys to get from one side of that tunnel to the other. So, and it gives her faith in driving along the way.
I should also add that when I'm talking about driving and praying the rosary, I'm like driving on a freeway or an interstate, so they're not. It's not a lot.
Like a long drive.
Yeah, it's a long drive to the airport. For me, it takes about 35-40 minutes, and so it only takes a 15 to 17 minutes of my trip, and there's really not a lot to concentrate on as far as driving, especially when I'm driving at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, not a lot of traffic, so it's and as you said, John, I really do like listening to the Divine Office. Great app, by the way, Divine Office, highly recommended, and so. Yeah, that's good. And then the FIFA thing, the football, or what we call here in the United States soccer, it was a disappointing loss last, what was it, Tuesday? Was it Tuesday? Yeah, it was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
But it was a great game, I thought, and an incredible game for one of our players, our goalkeeper. Let's see, what's his name? Tim...
That's how into soccer we are here.
Tim Howard. Yeah, 16 saves in this game. Incredible performance. And I was reading some stuff about him. Did you know that he has Tourette's syndrome? They talk about in this article here about from Lynn Pathios, one of the blogs, Get Religion blog. Just do a search for YOW post Tim Howard saves, but he says with God's help. And there was a Washington Post article that was talking about his great performance and the fact he has Tourette's, et cetera. But miraculously, the thing that the Washington Post did not report is the fact that that in addition to Tim being a great athlete and having Tourette's syndrome, he's also a devout Christian. And faith is a key part of his life and shapes who he is. And there's a quote from a 2006 interview with the Campus Crusade for Christ. The most important thing in my life is Christ. He's more important to me than winning or losing or whether I'm playing or not. Everything else is just a bonus. So that's good to hear. We kind of tied in that Catholic thing and football thing all together. How did we do, Johannes? And I guess Germany is actually still in the hunt there for... in the, let's see.
Yeah, they just beat France.
The World Cup.
Yeah. I'm trying to decide if it was the quarterfinals that they were. Yeah, so now they are playing Brazil in the semifinals on the 8th. And so good luck to your team, Johannes. It should be a great game. And then the two other teams that are still in the quarterfinals that are going to play today are, and one starting in about an hour, I think, Argentina and Belgium, those guys that beat us, and the Netherlands, yay, Father Roderick and Inge. And
still in it.
Yeah, they're still in it, and they're playing Costa Rica at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock today, I think. So a couple of great games in there, so we're talking about it, Johannes, okay? Giving us
see
such a bad time.
See what we do for our fans, our listeners.
Yeah, but you know, it's so cool that Johannes took the time to
yeah,
send in us audio
absolutely.
Feedback. And if you want to do so, send it to, as Johannes did, record it. It was a great recording, by the way. Record it and then attach it to the email and send it to catholicweekend@sqpn.com. There you go.
That and was, I don't know about the whole posh Catholics thing. I have no idea.
What does that mean? I mean, posh.
What
I always think
trying
of.
To say.
Yeah, I always think of the Spice Girls when I think of posh. I'm not sure. What do you think about that, John?
I say no comment. I'm not so sure if I know much about that posh Catholic thing.
Yeah, I'm not. Is that something? Was it something he's making up or?
Yeah, I think that was his way of labeling certain Catholics, describing certain Catholics.
So he's not describing himself and his wife.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what that would entail. Because when I think of posh, I think of really high end, you know, premium type of retail or you know what I'm saying, or fashion or
yeah,
but
very classy,
so
and
I'm not
sophisticated
too sure. Yeah, right, exactly. But send in more feedback.
Yeah, yeah, so let us know exactly what you mean by that. Looks like it's also used as a term of derision, so maybe that's what his intent was.
True.
Okay.
Well, we're non-judgmental here, right?
No, we're not. Well, maybe we are occasionally. Okay. And let's see. So was that? Yeah, that's good. Let's move on, unless you guys want to talk a little bit more about any of the items that were covered in the feedback. And let's move on to the reason why we have John on the show today. What do you think? Good?
Yeah,
okay.
Let's go for it.
So I received an email a week or two ago from this guy named John Clem, and I've never heard of him before. No, I'm just kidding. John has been a big supporter of SQPN and Catholic Weekend for quite a long time. In fact, he's been on our show a few times in the past. And but anyway, his email said, hey, you are invited to my profession of faith for the – or what's the exact term? Profession of
– That's right. That's right. Profession of faith for the Secular Franciscan Order.
Okay, so now Secular Franciscan Order. So let me get this straight. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, John is going to be wrapped in a brown, what do they call that? Habit.
Yeah, a habit.
And that's the way you're going to be living from now on, right? You're going to be in a monastery, and you're going to be eating bread and drinking really good beer, right? So did I get all that right?
Sort of. I mean, you know, pre-Vatican II, before Vatican II, the people in the Third Order or the Secular Franciscan Order did wear a habit. But after Vatican II, now we just wear this tau cross. I don't even see that. There's this little wooden cross that a lot of us wear with the three knots in it and the leather cord that we have. But the Secular Franciscan Order was founded by St. Francis himself. And it's a lay order. And it's this what he founded were three orders. The first order are the friars minor, the priests and brothers. The second order was Saint Clare, were the nuns, and the third order are lay people. But there's also it's the only third order that also allows priests and deacons from dioceses to be part of the third order. And what a lot of people don't know either is that it is the largest order in the entire Catholic Church. There's 400,000 worldwide. Here in the United States, there's 14,000, and it's it's the also of the third orders. There's certainly other lay orders, the Benedictines, the Dominicans, that have third orders. But it's the only third order also that was founded by the saint himself. So Saint Francis actually started this order when there was a couple that came to him that said, you know, we would really like to follow the life that you're following, your Franciscan life, a simple life, serving the poor, ideas of environmental issues and so forth. So he started the Third Order of St. Francis back when he was alive still. And so it's been around for 800 years now and has really grown to a worldwide movement. And our a lot of people, because, you know, other priests and things were allowed as well, our latest saint who was just, you know, ordained was Pope John the 23rd. And I made a little video about him for the Secular Franciscan Order. And I also just recently built the website for our region, which is the St. Margaret of Cortona region, and have the videos and things about Franciscan spirituality on there. And the St. Margaret of Cortona region, which is our region, is the Mid-Atlantic. So it's Virginia, Maryland, D.C., Delaware, parts of Pennsylvania, and parts of West Virginia that make up our region. And we have 35 fraternities in there. And we're going to be having actually our very first gathering of all the Virginia fraternities at my parish and on August 9th. But what I'm coming up to now is my profession of faith, which has been a 2.5-year journey. And we meet monthly with a formation director and spiritual direction and learn a lot. We read a lot of Franciscan books of spirituality and learn a lot about our faith. I've been on a number of retreats over this 2.5 years. There's sort of three stages. You start as an inquirer to the faith. And then you become a candidate, and then the last stage is now making a lifelong profession to the Secular Franciscan Order. And part of that is really just living a good Christian life. It's that, but you also meet monthly with your brothers and sisters at your fraternity meetings, and you also say the Divine Office as part of your profession as well, so morning and evening prayer is part of that. And we do a lot of, try to do a lot of great things out in the community, serving the poor. And we also have a sort of a new movement we started with our group is the Franciscan Earth Corps, which is young adults ages 18 to 35, and we go out and do works in the community. We've built three community gardens to help serve the poor, and also there's a halfway house that for men coming out of prison that I've built some community gardens up there for them as well. And that's just sort of a growing movement. I think there's about a dozen that have started across the United States, mostly on the East Coast right now, but hopefully that will grow. And there's a Franciscan youth movement as well that's part of the Franciscan Secular Franciscans that we support. So it's a really neat thing. And again, we encourage people to take a look at and are invited to fraternities across the United States or worldwide. Actually, just built a website for a group in Dusseldorf, Germany. But I part of what I do also is build websites for all of our Secular Franciscan fraternities. We're a little behind on the technology side of things. I did a survey, and there's only 9% of our fraternities in the country that have a website right now. So we're trying to solve that and offer more websites to more of our fraternities right now.
That's awesome. I think it's so cool when people find a particular spirituality that they can really relate to, and so much so that they profess, you know, into a secular order or third order. So how was it that you sort of discovered that you were, you know, that you really wanted to identify yourself with this particular Franciscan spirituality?
Well, I remember it really sort of started for me. I was up in Washington, D.C. I grew up in that area, but I used to go to the Franciscan Monastery up in Washington, D.C., which is a wonderful place. They have all of the replicas of the Holy Land up there and this beautiful rosary portico that you walk around, and they have these mosaics of all the mysteries of the rosary, but they also have a wonderful mosaic there of the Third Order being founded by Saint Francis and the couple kneeling before him in the beginning of the Third Order. And that sort of struck me, and I really felt a close connection to the Franciscans there and Franciscan spirituality, and it sort of began my journey. And here at my own parish, they had a Franciscan retreat out at some cabins out here in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and that also sort of furthered my decision to start this. And then one of my my minister here began our fraternity here in Central Virginia. There's not been a Franciscan presence in Central Virginia here for 50 years. They had left the area. So we were able to reestablish a fraternity that had left Richmond and got reestablished with a bishop here. Didn't have to go through the long 5-year process of starting a new fraternity, which was nice. So we have 8 members, and we have like 4 more in formation right now. So it's nice that we just sort of started our own fraternity just recently.
I think one of the most appealing things to me would be the I've heard the fraternity parties are pretty wild and pretty amazing. Do you have like toga? Well, I guess toga parties are kind of just part of the whole thing. Just instead of white, they're brown. It's pretty cool.
Sorry. Well, I mean, we certainly have good food at the fraternities bring that, but it's also a great place for fellowship and talking and have some prayer for it. And we also say the Franciscan Crown Rosary, which maybe a lot of not people are so familiar with, but it's a 7-decade rosary. And 7 decades that represent, it's, you know, 70 plus 2, which is the number of years that Mary lived on earth. So it's 72 Hail Marys that we say. And a lot of the same mysteries are part of it. But there's one mystery that's unique that's not in any other rosary, and that's the mystery of the Magi, which certainly I think SQPN would very much identify with the Star Quest production network being, you know, going after the star of the Magi. So I think that's sort of a unique mystery that we have in our rosary that nobody else has.
Excellent. And speaking of the StarQuest Production Network, SQPN, the website, I noticed on the peaceandallgood.org, Secular Franciscan Order website, or the Mount Laverna Fraternity, I guess that's their specific.
Yeah, that's our fraternity website, peaceandallgood.org.
Yeah, so if you want to find out about St. Clair of Assisi, there's a link there, and guess what it links to? saints.sqpn.com. I think that was pretty cool.
Yep, I think SQPN has the most comprehensive website on saints anywhere
thank,
out there.
It's really thank you to Terry Jones resource. Out there who manages that and created that entire database for, and we're very proud and honored at SQPN to be able to serve that to everyone out there. Well, that's great. Hopefully, if you're in the Charlottesville area, well, I guess you'd have to get an invitation from John to go. But anyway,
no, anybody's welcome. You can look at our website, and there's the national website, but our regional website is stmargaretofcortona.com, and that also has links to the national website. You can find all the fraternities across the nation and even in the world in the worldwide links.
Very, very good. Well, thank you for telling us a little bit about the Third Order or the Secular Franciscan Order, John. And we'll be keeping you in our thoughts and prayers 2 weeks from tomorrow as you make your profession into the Secular Franciscan Order. You know what?
Thank you.
There is something. Speaking of exciting, I just found out a major announcement from SQPN. So let's start with this. And the announcement is, we've been talking about this. In fact, we had a fundraiser for this not that long ago to raise money for SQPN Radio. And we are proud to announce that StarQuest Radio will be on the air. It will be launched on Monday. And so that's what I wanted to talk about. The URL is starquestradio.com. We also have a Facebook and Twitter feed on Facebook. It's facebook.com/StarQuest Radio. And on Twitter, it's StarQuest Radio. See? Very uniform. The radio station will play both current shows and unlock the treasure trove of shows that we've created over the past 10 years. A great way to rediscover shows that aren't available elsewhere. And each day of the week will have its own theme, linked to the most popular memes for each day of the week. For instance, Manic Monday, so productivity, managing your life, responsibilities. Tuesday is Transform Tuesday, programs about health, balance, vocation, goal setting. You get the idea. We have Wednesday Wisdom, Throwback Thursday, Family Fun Friday, Saturday Night, programs with ideas for a great Saturday night, like Catholic Foodie, Geek Priest, and Sunday Fun Day, travel programs like the Catholic Insider. So check out the StarQuest Radio station by heading over to starquestradio.com. So I'm very excited about that, and that's cool. We're finally launching that. And let's see. So this might be the best time for me to play. And I know, you know, there's so much more to talk about, but we have to kind of start ending the show today because we have some stuff planned very soon hereafter. And so I'll play this sound file. I'll play this. There we go. Picks of the Week. And John, you are our guest, so our guest host, why don't you start off with Picks of the Week?
Sure. Well, I post up a lot of my best stories that I have in my Catholic web services social media up on with Lisa Hendy at her website at Pathios, A Good Measure. And we put up the sweet tweets. I have certainly a special one on Independence Day of all the things that go on there. A lot of the links on there from the HHS mandate and all sorts of great stories to share. So that will be in the links for this week. And I also just started with a new company in Dallas, Texas called Illuvent. And they're a lot of great Catholic media production people involved with web design, digital marketing and creative solutions in writing. But we have some great people on there, Sarah Reinhardt, Craig Berry out of Minnesota. It's a group of about 8 different people that have a lot of fantastic talents that have come together to build, I think, some fantastic media for the Catholic Church and for small businesses and all sorts of different needs. So take a look at that. It's illuvent.com, and they have a lighthouse for the illumination, and the vent part is Saint Vincent is the patron saint of the new company. So that's sort of exciting. That just got launched this week.
And how's that spelled, John?
illuvint.com.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll put a link up for that as well. And another venture I've been involved in, beta testing this new app that should be a very exciting app for parishes and parish communities to use. It's called oneparish.com. And it's going to be a free app for parishioners to use, and parishes can sign up. But it's going to be a powerful tool for people to connect people within their parish for ministries, can act as like an online directory, communication tool, volunteer tool. It's going to have some online radio stations and so forth on it. Maybe we can even get a SQPN on One Parish as well. Ryan Krieger founded a group called Growing the Faith, and he left Little Eye Apps. He had helped develop the Pope app and Mizio app and a number of those. And so he's got a talented team behind him building this new app as well out of South Bend, Indiana. And it's right now it's sort of just starting. You can download it now both for Android and iOS. But really won't have all its functions in it until probably the end of the summer, beginning of the fall. But I would encourage people to take a look at that app. It's going to be a great tool for parishioners to use.
Excellent. I look forward to downloading it, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes. Well, thank you, John, for that. Angela, how about yourself?
Yeah. So, a lot of us who are part of SQPN are creative people, or we have some kind of project online, like a blog, for instance, or we make memes or something like that. Well, one of the common problems is trying to find really high quality photos to use, and especially if you want to stay within legal limits and use copyright-free, royalty-free images. So there's this great website that I found called gratisography.com, and that'll be in the show notes. It's gratisography.com. And it's just this person who decided, you know what, I'm just going to make my images available for free, and I'm going to update it every week with new images. And it's really high quality and also just creative images in and of themselves. So definitely check that out.
That sounds excellent. I'm definitely going to check that out because, as you said, anybody that has a blog, you know, you're always looking for great images, but you always have to be careful about the images that you're using, because you can get in trouble if you don't have permission to use them.
Right.
Okay, great. My pick of the week is this. This is extremely exciting. Maybe this is old news, but for those of you who are Tolkien fans, apparently there was a dinner in the Netherlands hosted for him in March of 1958, before I was born, I'd like to add. There was a recording of that dinner that was hosted for him. And that has been discovered. And they are now remastering it and cleaning it up and all that kind of stuff. So it's not actually available to play right now, but there is a transcript of what was said by Tolkien at that dinner. And then this is a reading from Mark Shea's blog. And he says, at the start of the speech, Tolkien is indeed full of high spirits and cracks jokes in a way that we've never heard him do before. Rather than the ultra-serious Oxford Don, whom most of us know from his scanty recordings, we get Tolkien as Bilbo right out of the chapter A Long Expected Party. He even makes reference to that famous 71st birthday, for Tolkien's oration was intended as a parody of Bilbo's farewell speech. The author's merry voice, with its brusque and rich accent, dances around your head like a hobbit drinking song. For the professor, it was said by one of his former students, could turn a lecture room into a mead hall. So anyway, a lot of good stuff there. You should read this post by Mark Shea. He has some other excerpts from the lost recording, and hopefully we'll have that recording to play sometime in the future. So those of you who are, you know, Hobbit fans and Lord of the Rings fans, this is pretty exciting. So I thought I'd make that my pick of the week.
Sounds like lots of fun.
Yeah. So with that, let's see. John, how can we learn more about you? Oh, he's gone. John decided it's time for him to go. So let's see. John's stuff, he's at Catholic
Web Services, which is CatholicWS. .com, I believe, or is it .org?
I think it's I think it's .org, but I'm not sure. And
Web Services.
She's quickly looking it up on Google.
It's CatholicWS.com.
Oh, it is .com. Okay, very good. CatholicWS.com, Catholic Web Services. Thank you, John. And again, we look forward to hearing more about your experience of your profession to the Secular Franciscan Order. And so look forward to having him on the show again in the future. Angela is inspired.
I'm inspired, and I have been more inspired lately. That means there are blogs up at my blog. So you can go to inspiredangela.wordpress.com. And I had an interesting idea on Thursday, on the Feast of the Apostle Thomas. And I was reading that gospel and I was thinking about post-traumatic stress disorder. And I'm just curious to hear more people's feedback about that. So if that sounds interesting to you, then go check that out. And you can also connect with me on Twitter at InspiredAngela.
Excellent. We'll have to check out inspiredangela.wordpress.com and read that post that you were just talking about. And look who's rejoined us. John Clem is back. He had to get in the last word, apparently. So we talked about CatholicWebServices.com. Anything else you'd like to plug, sir, before we go?
Anything else? No, I guess that's the only thing I was just going to say. I think if people can look at the issue about immigration that's going on right now, I think that's an important thing. And I've seen some important things brought up by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and the Franciscan Action Network, which is really the Franciscan family's lobbying efforts here in Washington as well. But I think there's a lot of important issues with all these children that are coming across the border from Central America right now. And the bishops are urging that due process please take place for these children that are coming across, and hope we can find a Christian way to deal with this issue.
Absolutely. I was going to say, Dan Cialana is he here to join us?
He's not really here to join us. But
okay. I could just see that smile.
Probably saw me yelling with the mute button on. So
I saw you smiling, so I figured it must be your husband that you have in the room with you.
Yeah, he walked in the room. So.
Okay. Well, say hi to Dan for us. We'll have to have him on the show sometime. And then we'll have to
maybe so.
And then we'll have to screen it and make sure everything is good before we publish it.
I don't know if it can be on StarQuest Radio.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Angela, Inspired Angela, and John, Catholic Web Services, and I'm the airline pilot guy. If you're interested in aviation at all, I do a little show every week called the Airline Pilot Guy Show, and you can find that on iTunes. And well, the best way just to head over to airlinepilotguy.com. And that's it for today's show. So look forward to seeing you back here again next week for another episode of Catholic Weekend. As always, take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.